This nation was founded on the principle that all men are created equal.
We hold these truths to be self-evident.
That all men are created equal.
I'll tell you what freedom is to me. No fear. I mean, really, no fear.
Isn't that equal?
From WDET in Detroit, this is Created Equal. I'm Stephen Henderson, and I'm in studio with the show's producer, Carrie Jr. II. Hey, Carrie.
Good morning, Stephen.
So today, we want to talk about a very serious issue here in the city of Detroit that was highlighted in a story by Violet Economova last week in the Detroit Free Press. This story caught my eye along with lots of other people. It's about so-called non-fatal shootings by the Detroit Police Department.
Yeah, and it's one of those stories that makes you stop and think, okay, what's going on here? Let's take a closer look. And as Violet has told us, she's still doing more investigation, more reporting on this. So we're not done with this conversation, but I think we've got some guests today that I think will give us some good information. So I'm interested to hear more about it, but a little bit of the background for what this story is. So Violet Economova did this investigation from the Free Press. She found that 10 of 29 people shot on duty by on-duty Detroit police officers from 2015 through 2021 were not charged with or convicted of the violent crimes of which they've been accused. On top of that, she found that there were 125 people shot by DPD since 2011. That includes fatal and non-fatal shootings. And some of the survivors were unarmed. Some were fleeing. I mean, at least two people were unarmed, and five who allegedly had guns were running away from attempted stops for suspected nonviolent crimes.
Yeah.
So there's some missing police video in some of those cases, and departmental discipline was rare. And also, she found that the shootings are costly, and that three of the shootings that resulted in civil lawsuits paid out nearly $2.5 million. So some interesting findings.
Well, and what catches our attention here, of course, is just the issue of police shootings themselves. Of course, police are employed to protect citizens in our city, but sometimes their jobs require that they use lethal force. They're authorized, of course, to do that. But whenever they do that, it is worth kind of stopping and pausing and asking some questions about why and what the results are. In these cases, there's a little bit of a difference than fatal shootings. In fatal shootings, of course, you don't get to hear the side of the person who was shot by the police. And so what the police say is pretty much what happened. In these cases, if somebody lives, they're able to say what their side of it was. Of course, then there's also the question of whether that person gets charged with the crime that you know, police were trying to apprehend them for or interacting with them about. And this is a really different look, I think, at police shootings and the interactions, of course, between police and people in our city.
And about the responsibility they have to respond to all types of cases when maybe not every case requires involvement that could potentially escalate into violence. So I do want to also, before we get going, say the DPD did respond in writing to the Free Press investigation. They said that whether or not charges are issued against a suspect in an officer-involved shooting is separate and apart from the question of whether the force used by the officer was justified. So we don't know what these cases, we don't always know the details of what's happening, whether or not it required violence, we don't know, but we do look at this, look at those numbers and say, really want to know a little bit more here.
Yeah, and we've got two great guests to help us understand more about all of this. Two members of the Detroit Board of Police Commissioners. We've got Quantes Presley, who is the chair of the Board of Police Commissioners. He's the lead pastor of Third New Hope Baptist Church, a graduate of Renaissance High School, Morehouse College, and Columbia University's Union Theological Seminary. Quantes, it's great to have you here on Created Equal.
And glad to be here.
Also with us is my friend Daryl Woods, who is a new member of the Board of Police Commissioners. Daryl is someone who has a remarkable life story. He was incarcerated for 29 years before his conviction for murder was finally overturned. He now is using his experience to do a number of things with at-risk young people in our community, including a program called Better Together. Daryl, it's really great to have you in the studio as well.
Thank you, my friend.
All right, so I want to start here with just the reactions that the two of you have to this story in the Detroit Free Press, this idea of what happens after someone is shot by the police and lives, which gives us a whole different picture of this issue than fatal shootings. Quantes, I'm going to start with you.
Yeah, I would say that my immediate reaction was that it's concerning but not surprising. I mean, it fell in line with what we saw, you know, as a national narrative many years ago when it came around police shootings, particularly of those who were unarmed. And so I came onto the Board of Police Commissioners in 2022, and this particularly was the climate we were responding to. And I think that there has been a lot of policies put in place since the last dates that are mentioned in the article that has tried to mitigate some of the concerns and suspicions that the community might have around these officer-involved shootings, particularly and especially in cases of non-fatal shootings, such as the disbursement of body-worn cameras and the mandate that police officers wear them. Also, the force continuum and the risk assessment department that Chief White has implemented. I think these things, again, helps to identify potentially problematic officers, but at the same time hold the officers accountable for their use of force in these incidences.
Yeah. Daryl?
Absolutely. I share the sentiments of the chairman, and definitely I am convinced that Chief White and the Board of Police Commission are committed to making sure that we weed out bad actors. There is no room for the person, you know, I don't want to mention name, but we know when folks was holding rakes, people's lives was being taken away, you know, that person, it ain't no room for that type of person on the department anymore. And
Talking about the incident several years ago now where a deaf citizen here in Detroit had a rake and the police were responding to a call about him. They felt threatened and they shot him to death.
Right? Absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely. And we have no room for officers like that on the department. And the chief is committed. He has shown his commitment to be able to weed out bad actors in the Board of Police Commission under the leadership of the chairman. Is rolling up his sleeves and making sure that tools and policies are in place to protect the citizens of the city of Detroit.
Yeah. I should also say for our listeners, we would love to hear from you during today's show. We are taking your phone calls at 313-577-1019. That's 313-577-1019. Call and tell us what your view is of the instances in which police officers use lethal force in our community. What do you make of this report in the Detroit Free Press last week that suggests that in nearly a third of the non-fatal shootings over the last several years, no charges were filed against the victims, which raises real questions about why that lethal force may have been deployed. You can also go to Twitter and either hashtag created equal or at WDET. And again, the number on the phones is 313-577-1019. Quantes, I want to talk about the role that the Board of Police Commissioners plays here in Detroit and how it interacts with the chief and the rest of the department in terms of reacting to things like police shootings and setting policy in terms of how they interact with our citizens.
Yeah, well, obviously the Detroit Board of Police Commissioners is a civilian oversight board, and we're tasked to oversee the Detroit Police Department and all of its policies and operations. And obviously when it comes to the preservation of life and the protection of our citizens, that is a primary and paramount concern. And so when it comes to, you know, incidents of officer-involved shooting, you know, I'm encouraged to say that there actually is an open dialogue and channel of communication between the chief and commissioners. I mean, we receive a critical incident report immediately upon any officer-involved shooting. And then the chief, within 3 to 10 days, brings commissioners in and allows us to review body-worn camera footage and kind of walks us through the steps of what occurred in the incident. And again, the chief, in being transparent to the community, has just implemented a policy that now all officer-involved in shootings after 45 days of the incident, those body-worn camera footage would be released to the public. And so, again, I think that what the public really wants to be confident in is that there is a sense of transparency, that they are being made aware of what's going on, so that officers, if indeed the case have acted inappropriately, can be held to account. And so in those incidences where we've seen excessive use of force or officers not operating according to their code of ethics, the chief has not been delayed or procrastinating in bringing those officers to the Detroit Board of Police Commissioners. Now, I think that some might be surprised to hear that the board does not engage in disciplinary action because of the collective bargaining agreements that DPD has with DPOA. The commission no longer serves in a disciplinary role, but rather we just affirm or deny the chief's recommendation relative to employment status change. And as I said earlier, the chief is not procrastinating when there's officers who has not acted according to the policy of the department to bring those cases to us.
Yeah. Daryl, you're a new member of the Board of Police Commissioners. So tell us why you joined and tell us about the work as you've found it so far, and talk some about this interaction between police and the citizens in this city and how critical it is that we get that right.
Yeah, I joined, as you know, I believe in the mantra that service is the rent we pay for the space that we occupy. And seeing some of the chaos that was going on with the board at times, you know, I thought the chairman needed some support, and this community needed some support to bring civility back to the board. And under this chairman, he has been encouraging me to be able to use some of my skills and talents to be able to help. And so we want to make sure that we are fully staffed on the Board of Police Commission. And we have some great news on that. The chairman will be able to share very, very shortly that we are committed to being fully staffed. And we are committed to make sure that the citizens' voices are being heard. What happened during the tenure before the chairman and myself, it was utter chaos. And we want to repair the broken pieces and to be able to give the citizens a product that they would be happy about, you know. And also, this is something that Komen Yan started years ago, a revolutionary leader, revolutionary thought, to be able to say that we want to hold police accountable for the rogueness of their behavior and the negativity that they brought against the citizens of the city of Detroit. And so, you know, in that spirit and in that vein, you know, I come here to be a supporting, to play a supporting role, to be able to restore order and to give the citizens confidence that their voices will be heard on the Board of Police Commission.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to continue this conversation with two of Detroit's police commissioners, Quantes Presley and Daryl Woods, about this report about non-fatal shootings in the city. We will also get to you, our listeners, on the phones and on social. Give us a call. 313-577-1019 is the number. That's 313-577-1019. Give us a sense of what you make of the relationship between police in Detroit and the citizens who they are employed to keep safe. What do you think of the incidences of police shootings in Detroit? Not as frequent as they may have one time been, but of course, each one merits our attention. What do you think should happen when police have to deploy lethal force? What do you make of of the fact that almost a third of the people who were shot and survived in the last few years by Detroit police were not charged with a crime. Again, 313-577-1019 is the number. You can also go to Twitter and hashtag Created Equal or at WDET. We'll be right back with more Created Equal. You're listening to Created Equal from WDET in Detroit. I'm Stephen Henderson, and I'm glad you're with us. We're talking about a recent report in the Detroit Free Press that says nearly a third of the non-fatal shootings in Detroit over the last several years didn't result in the victim being charged with a crime, which raises really important questions about why police deployed lethal force in those cases. We've got two of the city's police commissioners with us talking about it. Quantes Presley is the chair of the Board of Police Commissioners. Daryl Woods is a member at large for the Board of Police Commissioners. We'd also like to hear from you, our listeners, during the conversation. Give us a sense of how you assess the relationship between citizens in Detroit and the police who are employed to keep us safe. When should they deploy lethal force? Do they deploy that force too often, in your judgment? And are they held accountable sufficiently when that's done? Also give us a sense of what you think of this report in the Detroit Free Press that talks about these non-fatal shootings and the instances where the victim is not even charged with a crime after having been shot by the police. 313-577-1019 is the number here on the phones. That's 313-577-1019. You can also go to Twitter and hashtag Created Equal or at WDET, and we can include you in the conversation that way. Before we get to listeners, Quantes and Daryl, I want to talk about one part of the story last week that I think really does call on the Board of Police Commissioners and other authorities in the city to answer for. And that's the fact that departmental discipline was rare in the cases where these non-fatal shootings took place and people were not charged. Now, as the department said, the fact that charges are not filed against a suspect in an officer-involved shooting doesn't really speak to the circumstances under which that officer decided to use lethal force. They are kind of two separate things. But it does raise real questions, I think, when you think about, you know, people maybe running away from the police, which in some of these cases was what happened, or police just overreacting, perhaps, to a situation. What do you make of the departmental discipline that that gets meted out in the police department, and whether it's sufficient? Do we have a problem there?
Yeah, I think that it is a kind of complicated issue because, again, when you have Michigan State Police who investigates all officer-involved shootings of DPD suggesting that the use of force was justified, it really does ties the hands of the chief to then exact discipline if what they engaged in was suggested to have been justified. And I think that in many ways speaks to the strength of the unions, mm-hmm. That the chief recognized that through arbitration that whatever disciplinary decision he might make may be overturned, you know, by their union representation. And so, again, it makes it very difficult. But what I would suggest is the community can use a tool that I think may be underutilized, which is its Board of Police Commissioners. I did review for the names that were mentioned in the article whether or not a CCR, what we call a community complaint report, had been filed, and a complaint had not been filed in either case, mm-hmm. which suggests that the citizen didn't fill out a report letting the Board of Police Commissioners know that there was a negative encounter that they had with law enforcement that then would enable our investigators to investigate, and then providing more support, if you will, or reinforcement for the chief to be able to make a decision if it is sustained or founded that some wrongdoing had been exacted. And so when we think about the nine categories that our chief investigators investigate, force is eight of the nine. Mm-hmm. So we're not getting a lot of force complaints from our citizens. And again, I don't know if that's a matter of the traumatic experiences not really allowing them to avail themselves to the resource, but I do think that it can be another avenue to hold these officers accountable, because again, outside of DPD or even Michigan State, to know that the Civilian Oversight Board also has an investigative body that can look into these incidents might also be helpful in holding these officers accountable.
Yeah, yeah. Daryl, do we have a problem with force in Detroit? Do we have a problem with accountability for force that's used in Detroit?
I think that the chief probably have a couple of bad actors on the department that he wished that he can get rid of, for sure. And I think that...
But it's not that easy to just do.
It's not that easy to do. And I would say this, that Senator Stephanie Chang have a plethora of bills in the Senate right now that will address a lot of these concerns within police departments throughout the state of Michigan. Mm-hmm. And I'm a strong advocate for the passage of those bills. To give us, as well as the chief, more tools to be able to utilize to get rid of the bad actors. But I have seen a strong commitment by this chief since I've been on the Board of Police Commission. There has been cases, you can't speak publicly on different things and stuff like that, but he has brought cases to suspend without pay. And those have been sustained and without going into any of the details of any of them. But, you know, I've seen that strong commitment by the chief to do that, you know. And so a lot of people don't see all of the nuances that take place in having to mete out discipline.
Yeah.
You know, it's not just a magical wand to say you did wrong, you're fired. You know, it don't work like that. You know, this is not television, but they have rights. And sometimes you probably would like to see some be disciplined more. You know, I know a particular one person on there who have cost the citizens of Detroit too much money, Mr. Q. I could say that he cost the citizens
this
the citizens,
yeah,
absolutely, too much money. And thank God that he is not on the streets anymore. And I pray that we continue to be able to rid the department of folks like that, you know. And so I have confidence in this chief. The Board of Police Commission have confidence in this chief. If we had no confidence in him, then we would say that.
Right, right. Quantes, you said something I want to follow up on. You said that the in the rankings of categories for complaints, force is pretty low.
Mm-hmm.
What are the things that people are complaining about more than force in Detroit?
Yeah, so the top three areas where there are cases being filed, citizen complaint reports being filed, has to do, number one, with procedure. That means that a citizen is arguing that maybe the officer did not follow appropriate procedure, maybe didn't identify why they were being pulled over. And we also found that officers not properly wearing their body-worn camera footage is also a procedure complaint. And so we've seen that to be the highest, followed by demeanor, which often is an officer using inappropriate language in their engagement with a citizen. And then the third is service, which suggests that somebody called the police or went to the precinct hoping to receive some information and didn't receive the information that they required. But again, out of those, force is the second to the bottom of them. Now, that, again, is not to suggest that there isn't challenges and issues in our community relative to that. But again, they aren't filling out citizen complaint reports. And so, again, my encouragement to citizens, again, is if you're having these negative encounters with law enforcement, that you fill out these reports, because, again, it helps us to hold the police department accountable.
Right.
And recognize areas of improvement.
What's going on with the body cams?
Yeah, so, you know, it's had a few iterations. I think the article kind of mentioned it at the beginning. You know, all officers did not have their own body-worn cameras. They would share them as a precinct. We found that by doing so, oftentimes officers might have cameras where the batteries were running low or were malfunctioning. They're supposed to report that at the precinct. And so to solve that, again, Chief White made an investment in body-worn cameras, and I think they just purchased more, where each officer is assigned their own body-worn camera. When we were looking at cases, we found, again, that whether or not an officer would say that their battery was running low or there was something that was malfunctioning, we attempted to be kind of radical and suggest that if it was a case where an officer was not wearing their body-worn camera, that they would have to stand for the charge that the citizen lifted. However, you know, obviously our attorneys suggested that, you know, that wouldn't be constitutional to do so. Because of a due process. But we were able to agree that they then would be sustained for a procedure violation. So while we might not be able to sustain the demeanor complaint or the service complaint that was in there, an additional report would be made around procedure, and they would be found sustained in violating policy in that way. And we discovered that by doing so, again, the chief making a emphatic communication to his department, they're wearing their body-worn cameras more often. Data that they're suggesting based off of the research they've done, which not has been independently verified, but suggests that there's a 99% adherence rate to police officers wearing their body-worn camera. So that is an area of encouragement and a change since the time frames that this article is covering.
Yeah, yeah. Again, 313-577-1019 is the number here on the phones. You can go to Twitter, hashtag created equal, or at WDET. Let's start today with Daniel in Detroit. Daniel, what's on your mind?
Well, I'd like to start by thanking your two guests for their service. It's a difficult time to be working in law enforcement right now, and I really appreciate everything they do. I've been on the show before when we've had these topics, and I think you know my position on this. I think every time we talk about police shootings, we should be also talking about the tipping point of these situations. And the tipping point is resisting arrest. What percentage of police shootings in America start with resisting arrest? And why aren't we talking about that every time we talk about police shootings? Because we need to get it out to the public that if you resist arrest, your chances of getting shot and killed are great. There should be a campaign at the gas stations, at the grocery stores. There should be billboards in the city that talk about this. And I don't know why we're not discussing it. Every time you have a show like this, you should talk about it. Has there been a study on police shootings in America, and what percentage of these shootings start with resisting arrest? Because I would think it's in the 90 percentile.
So Daniel, I do appreciate the call. I love that you listen to the show and call frequently. And you're right, we've had this conversation before, and I am familiar with your position on it, but I think you're also familiar with mine, which I will repeat before I go back to our guests. Resisting arrest is not a justification for lethal force. We have the police to de-escalate situations, to make things safer for people in the city. That's their job. And when they show up and things are chaotic and near this tipping point that you're talking about, no question, tensions can run high. But their job is to ratchet it down and not ratchet it up. And so I'm not saying that in every case that's what's happened here, but certainly that's the question we ought to be asking, rather than what did the citizen do to incite the police officer to what they did. The onus is on the police officer, and the reason that they're called to a scene is because emotions have run high. Maybe someone's behavior is out of line. But the use of lethal force has to be reserved for the most extreme cases where life itself kind of hangs in the balance, mm-hmm. either the officer's life or somebody else who is involved in the incident. I think, shifting the blame to the citizens is kind of a strange way to think of it, Daniel. I just don't understand how you kind of use that as a starting point. But I'll let our guests respond as well. Darryl, I'll start with you this time.
Excellent point. I share your sentiments on that. And this incident that happened with the gentleman with the knife situation, I believe that happened last year. Mm-hmm. Before I became a police commissioner, Teferi Brent, who was one of the community leaders in here in the city of Detroit, him and I, you know, was able to have a meeting with the chief and have a meeting with the assistant chief and the deputy mayor at that time to say, you know, let's figure out a better way to be able to address these situations in a non-lethal way. And I'm happy to say that the department heard our cry, and the chief was deeply concerned about that situation as well. And now they have what you call bubble wrap and other non-lethal things that they can utilize to be able to address those who have those type of crisis going on in our community. Yeah. And so I am a firm believer that we need to utilize every non-lethal opportunity or apparatus that we have to be able to help with the citizens, you know. So we are doing much better, mm-hmm. Even just from last year. Mm-hmm. And they have bubble wrap, they have all kinds of things now to be able to use now. And then also the assistant chief have these community summits going on right now. Yeah. They are happening throughout the city of Detroit in every precinct. So citizens who have some major complaints can come together with the officer and to be able to address those issues with the officer there in a restorative way. Yeah. And sometimes they find out that the officer could have did something different. Sometimes the citizens get some education on why the officer did what they did. And so bringing that into place, and, you know, before I came on the Board of Police Commission, I worked with Mitch Album to create a program called Better Together,
right.
As you featured earlier. But we bring police officers together. We brought them together with people who believe in defunding the police, people who were gang members and all of that, and to be able to just bring them together in a way just to have a community conversation. And those are magical moments. And so we have to be in a place where we don't turn on each other, but we turn to each other, you know. And so that's why all of these type of things are vitally important, and that the chief and his staff are listening, you know. And if folks have ideas, I think they are open to it, you know. That the police department serves the public.
Yes.
It's serve and protect, and not protect and serve.
Yeah. No, that's right. Quantes?
Yeah. To your caller's point, you know, I don't know if it's necessarily true that there's not a lot of conversations about resisting arrest, because I think in every black household, it's a rites of passage.
We
to
all
have
get
that
told
conversation.
That at about 11 or 12, right?
About how to
do
engage.
Not talk yes. back.
Right? And we've seen numbers of situations where that hasn't saved an individual yeah. from experiencing lethal force. And so to your point, in that traumatic experience, you know, psychologists suggest that you, what is it, of freeze, flight, or fight. And in the moment when somebody is dealing with a traumatic experience, there's one person or an entity that's trained in that moment, right. and the other one that is not. And I think that mm-hmm. the onus should be on those who have been trained in that moment to take the responsibility and ensure the safety and preservation of life.
Yeah. Again, Daniel, really appreciate the call and your comments. Let's go next to Dennis in Dearborn. Dennis, welcome to the show.
Hi, good morning. First off, I have to say that I'm not going to speak to the current article because I didn't read it, so I would be giving opinion without competency. But I will say I lived in Detroit 63 years of my 76 years of life, and I have always supported the police and anybody who goes into that. I think they are noble, but they do have to be very competent at probably very select moments. And I will tell you, one time I got up, I live in Dearborn now, so I got up at a public meeting and there was tension about police. And And I took issue with the thin blue line in the American flag. I said, we have one American flag. It has enough blue in it. It doesn't need any divisions. It doesn't need any dividing points. It's one right. Constitution. It's one.
Yeah.
And which brings me to the point now that I'm privileged to be mentoring some of the young ones. There are people that I worked with that were in the academy in Dearborn, and now they are police officers. Hmm. And I will tell you, the tension between them thinking out that we're warriors rather than guardians yes. is still coming through. It's still getting there. And it just reminds me of William Blackstone, who was famous for the line. He was a English jurist,
yeah.
but he was famous for the line of innocent until not proven guilty. But there was a precursor to that. He also said, it is better for 10 guilty people
right.
to go free than one innocent person to be. Yeah. So I'm not talking about that, but there is a tension between that thought that we ought to be really careful about how we develop these fearful situations,
yes.
how that officer mm-hmm. is going to handle the fear, and how they are going to be in tension inside themselves, not with me or anybody else at first. They have to be in tension with themselves on their behavior.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Dennis, really, really appreciate the call and those insights. Daryl, I hear you co-signing a lot of what Dennis said there.
absolutely. There has been some rogueness in the department that has caused some wrongful convictions. There's a Brady and Giglio list for a reason. And I think that's an affront and embarrassment to the department. And I believe
what that is.
The Brady and Giglio list is where officers who have done so did wrong and lied on their statements and things of that nature that they can't come to court.
They can't go
and
to court
testify.
Anymore. Right.
You know. So there is a list.
Mm-hmm.
You know. And the chief don't want those type of bad actors in his department. The citizens don't want them, but that's not the majority of the Detroit Police Department. The people I see on the Detroit Police Department, the neighborhood police officers, the people who are out in the community engaging with people in the community, they have that Pelian attitude mm-hmm. towards policing,
mm-hmm.
you know, and so it's about serving and protecting the citizens. And again, those warriors and rogue cops, you know, when they come across our desks, we wouldn't hesitate to, you know, recommend to get rid of them, you know, if that's the case, mm-hmm. if that's need be, you know. But there's a lot of people that we could celebrate on the department that's doing some real good things. Some people be like, well, you're a police commissioner. You know, like you supposed to beat the police down. you know, the police are our brothers, our sisters, our mothers, and our fathers. They don't have a tail. They're not the boogeyman. Just like people who are coming from prison who are incarcerated. They are not animals. You know, some people take that position. Those are human beings. They are our brothers, our mothers, and sisters. And we have to bridge the gap in our city and be able to work together as one community, as one Detroit.
Yeah, you know, Daryl, it really is worth stopping to note that it's the importance of you saying that, given your life experience, that you believe in the power and the value of good policing, and understand how critical it is to our city.
Oh, absolutely. 81-year-old woman was raped last year. I was out on the streets looking for that person.
Yeah.
He allegedly have raped a 65-year-old right after that. Who wants somebody out there raping our mothers and our sisters and terrorizing our community? You know, even though when I was a wayward child, young man, you know, I believe in accountability. You know, I needed a little spanking, you know. we don't believe in that today, but, you know, but the fact of the matter is we have to be accountable to one another and to our community, and we need law and order, but we need constitutional policing in the city of Detroit, and that's what our chairman fight for, and I'm glad to be a partner of his.
Yeah. Quantes, one thing that that Dennis mentioned that I want to have you address is this need for good training and alternatives to escalation for police. Do you feel like we're in the right space with that in Detroit?
Yeah, I believe we have the greatest training. And I think the evidence of that is how many precincts and agencies come and take officers after they've gone through DPD training.
They take our best ones.
Yeah, they take our best ones. But I think that, you know, even beyond that, when I go to the cadet graduations, what I suggest is if you've been trained by the best in the world, but your training means nothing without application. And when they are not able to transfer what they've gotten in their training to the real life scenarios, then the training is for naught. And so obviously, again, the overwhelming amount of officers are, operating in their roles, functioning in their responsibilities in ways that does indeed enhance the quality of life for the citizens of the city of Detroit. But again, those bad actors, those ones who, exact excessive force, there has to be these levels of accountability first within the department among other police officers, recognizing that that kind of behavior, it deteriorates the trust that officers are able to have with the community. And that relationship is absolutely essential if public safety is going to mean anything in our community. But again, I think we're seeing that happen with the numbers being touted that, homicides are as low as they've been in the last 60 years. In our last Board of Police Commissioners, when they went over all of the violent one crimes, all of them were declining. And they suggest that's the first time that many of them have ever seen that. And so in many ways, as Commissioner Wood suggests, not only are not all police officers bad, but they aren't doing wrong all the time. There are some things that are actually being done by Detroit Police Department that is commendable and should be congratulated. But again, never losing sight of those areas where there can be some improvement.
Okay. I want to thank Daryl Woods for being with us, one of the Board of Police Commissioners here in the city of Detroit. I know you have to actually run and do more of the good that you do in our community. But I really appreciate you coming by, Daryl. And we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we will continue to talk with Board Chair Quantes Presley. We'll also continue to hear from you, our listeners, on the phones and on social. 313-577-1019 is the number. Call and tell us what you make of the relationship between Detroit police and the citizens here in the city. Also, what do you make of this report about non-fatal shootings and charges not being filed in nearly a third of the cases of those shootings? 313-577-1019 is the number. We'll be right back with more Created Equal. This is Created Equal from WDET in Detroit. I'm Stephen Henderson, and I'm really glad you've joined us. We have Quantes Presley with us. He is the chair of the Board of Police Commissioners here in the city of Detroit. We're talking about a story last week in the Detroit Free Press that talked about non-fatal shootings by police officers in the city, and a fact that in almost a third of the cases, no charges are filed against the victims. Why is that true? What does that mean? And how does that relate to the relationship between police and citizens in our community? That's what we're talking about. We want to hear from you as well. 313-577-1019 is the number here on the phones. You can go to social as well, to Twitter, and hashtag Created Equal or at WDET. Quantes, I want to start with a quote. Comment from Twitter and have you respond to it. Dr. Meg Krausch says, in response to your comment about administering discipline, the Michigan State Police investigating shootings, it says, in other words, the Board of Police Commissioners is actually a do-nothing organization that lends more credibility to police by offering the sheen of civilian oversight without changing anything. It's a pretty harsh comment. But I wonder what you make of people who don't see the commission as useful and maybe see it as rubber stamp as this Twitter user does.
Yeah, it would be unfortunate. I mean, obviously there are limitations to what we can do, but that should not overlook what we can. And again, I've suggested on numbers of occasions that we have our own investigative body, that if citizens file these citizen complaint reports, we're able to investigate. We have subpoena power. We have the ability to review body-worn camera footage. And in many ways, noting that we are outside of the law enforcement infrastructure provides the community, civilians, people who are from their neighborhoods, from their communities, the opportunity to represent them investigating these cases. And then beyond that, we also create policy. And so, again, the body-worn camera footage policy, the officer-involved shooting policy,
These all come from the police commissioners.
Yes, the Detroit Board of Police Commissioners, and it provides the space for citizens to have their voices heard. These meetings are open. Often our chairs of the policy committee is inviting feedback and input from the community, and that feedback shows up in the policies that, again, oversees the operations of the Detroit Police Department. So, again, we can't do everything, and I'm very clear about those limitations, but that does not diminish what we indeed can do to represent the citizens of the city of Detroit.
If you could change something to give the police commissioners more power or authority or teeth, as you would, what would that look like?
Well, you know, obviously there are, you know, some very complicated conversations that we have to have relative around the collective bargaining agreement. And again, how that has in many ways cut out the Detroit Board of Police Commissioners in the area of discipline. But more than that, you know, I would like to provide that power back to the citizens. We had the opportunity to go to a NACO conference, which is the National Association of Civilian Oversight and Law Enforcement Conference. And we got to learn from other commissions across the country. And we were really interested to see what Chicago was doing, really with their Civilian Oversight of Police Accountability Board, which would be like the counterpart to the Detroit Board of Police Commissioners. And on their website, they have all of the body-worn camera footage of every officer-involved shooting that's available. They have every sustained case against an officer available. And right there at the tip of the website, citizens can see for themselves the level of transparency that's going on in Chicago Police Department. Those are the sorts of things that we're hoping to be able to pursue with the powers that we do have on the Detroit Board of Police Commissioners, again, to give citizens as much transparency and access as possible to what's going on in the inner workings of their police department.
Yeah, yeah. Let's go back to the phones here. Jerry in Detroit, you're up next. Jerry, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Steve, and congratulations on the new show, by the way.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that.
All right. I wanted to address before the last break, there was, I'm a black man, by the way. There was a white caller named Daniel, a few callers back, and he's complaining about suspects resisting arrest. And I have to respond to that, if I would, for Daniel, if he's listening. Since when did protect and serve become comply or die? There seems that that a lot of racist white people defending white cops always seem to always put the onus on the unarmed victim rather than the armed police officer, because they seem to think that it's somehow the victim's fault that they're getting shot. Daniel seems to be buying that, by the way, as if somehow the onus is always on the victim rather than on the officer.
Yeah, Jerry, I really appreciate you calling and making that point. And, you know, I tried to make that point as well after Daniel called, to say that, you know, we count on the police to de-escalate these situations, not to make them worse. And they're the professionals in these situations. So you're absolutely right. And you're absolutely right about, I think, the propensity to believe, especially where African-Americans are involved, that it's our behavior that somehow incites these responses by the police, and that ties, of course, to all the other systemic bias that exists against African Americans, the racism that infects so much of our country and so many of the institutions. So, Jerry, I do really appreciate you calling and reinforcing that point. Okay, Quantes Presley, chair of the Board of Police Commissioners here in the city of Detroit. It was really, really great to have you here with us to talk about this issue. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Okay, that's going to do it for us on Created Equal. You can listen to recent episodes of ours at WDET.org, and we would love it if you would subscribe to our podcast, where you can leave us a rating or a review. Created Equal is produced by Carrie Jr. II and David Lines. Our audio editing is by Connor Anderson, and the music is by Sam Bobian. Created Equal is a production of WDET, a listener-supported service of Wayne State University. This is WDET-FM, Detroit Public Radio, your connection to news, music, and conversation.